Davis is probably lying, and Greta Garbo is probably crying, while Robert Taylor is locked in her dying embrace. Chico and Groucho and Chaplin and Lloyd are all super. Sweet Mickey Mouse, Shirley Temple, and dear Jackie.
Let's go to the movies. Let's go see the stars. I'm joined by Big Kev, Mr. Kevin Suarez. Kev, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, we're talking about one we could probably take the kids along to see this weekend, Paddington 2, Paddington Bear, number 2, the sequel.
Yeah, we sure are. So, I thought that it was a pretty good film. I actually really enjoyed it, but I didn't really know what it was about until I went to the screening. So, can you imagine this cartoon, really cutesy, but sort of like Winnie the Pooh, but likes wearing like a, you know, some like a red hat and a blue jacket,
right? Oh,
look, right?
I'd read the books as a kid. Like, yeah. I still remember reading Paddington Bear as a kid, yeah.
Now, imagine he's in jail. He's fallen on hard times. He's tried to get a job. It doesn't work out. He's taken a wrong turn and he gets jailed. So that is more or less the plot for number two. And he has to try and use his optimism and his better nature to try and befriend the prisoners that he is incarcerated with. I wish I was joking. I'm not.
Like I said, I remember reading the books as a kid, but the only thing I remember from the first film, there was a number one Paddington, and the only thing I remember was that it turned into a bit of a meme. There was a picture of him standing outside Buckingham Palace, I believe, and he has this very ominous look on his face, this slight, I wouldn't call it mischievous, it is menacing. It is a menacing photo of this little stuffed bear, and then a lot of people were putting it in front of all these murder scenes and events, horrible events happening in the background. It was a little bit of a meme that was going around the release of the first Paddington. And now he's in prison. So it kind of suggests to me that maybe there was something to that. Maybe he really was menacing things behind the scenes. What do you put a stuffed bear in jail for?
Well, it turns out that he's a, just like all good action heroes, he's been jailed incorrectly. He's been framed for a crime he didn't commit. I know it sounds like a really gritty sort of action drama sort of film, but it's really not. Look, I know that for you, there's a lot of red flags for this film. I know that we've been discussing it and off the air. Like, there's a lot of things that doesn't really attract you to this film. For example, the CGI bear looks a little bit creepy. Plus, you know, the whole jail thing, the fact that it's a sequel where they're never as good, and the fact that it's a talking bear. You know, only something that only the littlest of kids would be appealed by. But somehow, it somehow actually works all of these to a strength. Amazingly, when I went in, I thought this is going to be a waste of my time, but it really wasn't. It was a really good script behind this movie that somehow pulled all of these very disparate and usually kind of negative traits into something positive. So and honestly, Hollywood probably should be taking a couple of notes from this. For example, the main hero is an optimist in a world where all the action heroes and stuff are all negative and they're all cynics and they hate, you know, humanity and so on. Here's Paddington Bear with his cheerful smile looking at everyone's better nature, right? And he's always certain that every situation he's in is going to have a positive outcome, right? And I feel, honestly, there should be more heroes like him, right? But other than that, the script itself was very witty. There's a lot of jokes in there for the kids, as well as a lot of references for the adults to get. Nothing too naughty or anything, but like some kids' movies sometimes try to be. They try and make a couple of jokes that are a little bit too risque, but not in this case in Paddington. But even when there aren't any jokes happening, it is very charming. Like the Paddington Bear, watching him do his thing on the screen, in jail and so on, he's very endlessly charming. So even when there wasn't a joke happening, I was still watching the movie with a grin on my face.
Well, you were saying before, like you said, before when we were off mic, this was great. It was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. You reckon it had earned it because it was such a well-done kids film.
Yeah.
I still look at it, though, and I see this slightly menacing cartoon bear, and I compared it to my own nieces. If we go down to the pictures over this weekend, and one of them is very, very young. Well, the oldest is very, very young. The youngest is only a few months old, so she probably won't appreciate anything. But 2 years old, it seems to me still, it's not going to really appeal to somebody as young as her who likes just bright colours and motion and all that kind of thing. who is the target for this audience? I mean, older kids are going to go, well, I don't want to go watch a movie about a cartoon, you know.
Talking bear.
A talking bear. So I imagine there's a middle ground there somewhere, but who is this movie actually for?
The thing about British films is that they seem to have a track record of making things for families, but they appeal to the kids, they appeal to the adults as well. I would say that here it would appeal somewhere around maybe 8-year-olds up until maybe 15-year-olds, but that being said, people above that age will still enjoy the movie immensely because the movie doesn't really talk down to the younger audience, even though it's supposed to be a family film, which I think is one of the best signs of one of the best qualities of family films in general, is that they can do a script that doesn't sort of patronize the kids. That's the reason why, for example, Doctor Who has been around for 55 years. It's a family thing, but it doesn't talk down to the audience as well. Similarly, Paddington 2 shares that quality. So yeah, I'd say if they're after, like, you know, bright colors and so on, then maybe this isn't quite their film. But for like a relatively young audience, I mean, like, it was rated G, but it has very mild themes. That's what the classification said, I think, a few weeks ago when I checked it. So there's very mild themes. So yeah, like a 6-year-old or 5-year-old probably wouldn't quite understand the context of what's happening.
All right, so Paddington goes to prison. Paddington number 2, that is getting 2 great big thumbs up for Mr. Kevin Suarez. So
honestly, I would say that if a critic does give it a negative review and finally push it down to 99%, I'll be joining Paddington Bear in giving that critic a good long hard stare so that they know that they've done something wrong and they can reflect on it.
That sounds fair to me. Kev, this is the last time we'll be doing it for 2018. So 2018, we're wrapping up, but obviously Christmas, New Year, probably a few opportunities to get along and see. Just very, very briefly, any final films we should keep our eyes open for well over Boxing Day and the New Year?
Sure thing. So coming out on Boxing Day, there's Call Me By Your Name, a fantastic coming-of-age LGBTI film coming out that's set in, France. Other than that, there's Doctor Who, Twice Upon a Time, the regeneration story for Peter Capaldi. I'm personally going to that. It's going to be in the cinemas for one day only. Other than that, Jumanji was surprisingly good. Mm-hmm. If you're into foreign films, Just to Be Sure was an enjoyable comedy as well. And The Greatest Showman, even though it does sort of skim on the life of P.T. Barnum, it's still a pretty enjoyable musical as well. And coming out on New Year's Day, 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri was a really very good black comedy. And maybe Pitch Perfect 3 if you're a diehard fan, but if not, just best to skip that one.
Plenty of recommendations there. Big Kev, thank you very much.